When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Payne and Pendergast, and yeah, the mood is very consistent right now amongst fans. Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. I'm terribly depressed about this whole thing, so hopeful coming into the season, only to have to face the reality of this being an average to below average football team. I got a text from a buddy of mine who says, yeah, this loss is impacting me in a really negative way. I usually watch the game a few times. I can't bear to watch this game twice. It was horrible in so many ways. For me, in the, 10 hours since this game ended, Seth, to me, the part that I hate is reconsuming all of the highlights. And normally, with the Texans over the last year and a half, it's been really fun to listen to what national people are saying about them, because they've kind of been, a version of America's darling because of how quickly they turn things around. Everybody loves C.J. Stroud. Everybody loves D'Amico Ryans, rightfully so. They are a punchline today, in my opinion. You know, they got kicked in the mouth last night by the previous punchline in the NFL, the New York Jets, and they now hold the title at least for the next couple of days over the weekend of punchline right now because the Jets beat them last night.
I think that, and in a lot of ways too, okay, if you you talk about what expectations were headed into the season, how things looked, I think you can draw a lot of parallels to the Detroit Lions with the Texans, and we already have been able to, as a team that was extreme laggards. They got a couple things right, and all of a sudden things kind of switched for them. But for the Lions, in that second year where people were optimistic about them, it was kind of dicey early on. Mm-hmm. One of the things that they did, the Lions had made a couple pretty bold moves over the course of a couple seasons. They changed play calling duties offensively. They fired a defensive backs coach. Like, they made in-season changes on both the offensive and defensive coaching side of things that made measurable or noticeable differences on the outcome.
Yep.
And I'll go back to the Bills last year. The Bills fired offensive coordinator two-thirds of the way through the season, and it ended up being better for the Bills. They ended up being a better offense. That's where the Texans are approaching. That's the territory they're headed towards right now. There's no excuse. We went into last night saying, wow, the Jets are really not playing up to the caliber of their depth chart. You look at the names on that team, and they're not living up to it. The Texans are 100% that team right now.
Yep.
You look at the depth chart, they are not performing up to it. All eyes go to the offensive coordinator. Because, yes, the offensive line is an issue, but it's across the board. It's play design and play calls. It's everything is substandard right now on the offense.
And in a weird way, the schedule lays out for you right now very conducively to make changes like that. You got a few extra days to acclimate to whatever those changes may be. You know, if you're doing something with the play calling, if you're doing something with the offensive coordinator, like you just said the Lions did, this gives you a few extra days to whoever it might be, I'm assuming somebody in the building, to acclimate themselves to it. You got a few extra days to do that here because you played on Thursday, not Sunday. That matters. As long as you're in season, it matters. That's a few extra days to get ready for that very Lions team, ironically, who might be the best team in football right now. Here's D'Amico Ryans last night. The pressure on C.J. Stroud from opposing defenses is the topic right now. It is a crisis right now for the Texans that this offensive line is playing so poorly, getting C.J. Stroud so physically damaged, and I think a little bit psychologically damaged as well. How sustainable are things with C.J. under this much pressure?
As many times you get sacked that many times is not good enough, right? Don't want our quarterback getting hit. As many hits as we took is not good enough, and you know we got to make things adjust. We got to adjust. We got to change things moving forward.
And this isn't like it's a little below expectation. I'm talking about this particular area, the offensive line and their inability to protect C.J. Stroud. It's not like there was the expectation that this was going to be a top five offensive line, and it turns out they're middle of the pack. They are really, really bad. Like, they are, in some ways, historically bad in the amount of pressure that they're allowing the future of your franchise to get hit by here in the face. Like, it's really bad. Like, we're not, this isn't shock jocks on the radio trying to get somebody fired. Like, these are the types of things, as you just pointed out, Seth. Things like this for a team with expectations where the downside is not just losing football games, it's losing your franchise quarterback for this year and maybe future years. Who knows if he gets damaged badly enough. These are the type of things that necessitate that sort of change.
Yeah.
This is not alarmist by us here.
Somebody fact check me on the chronology of when Ben Johnson gained play calling duties. Thank you. I think this is the thing I would bring up, because a lot of people have very justifiably said, okay, is it going to happen to CJ what happened to David Carr, where it seemed like he got hit so much in the first few years that it permanently destroyed the clock in his head? I don't worry about that to that degree, because the difference between CJ and David is that David in his first couple years, I don't think ever really had the chance to develop that pocket presence. And now maybe he never would have anyway, but I'm not sure that he really had the chance to. CJ has already demonstrated an ability to avoid pressure, to navigate pressure, to keep his eyes downfield, to understand all that. How to avoid? I'm just looking at one of the advanced charts here of quarterbacks and how good they are after avoiding a sack. CJ's one of the top seven in the league. I think he's got a very good pocket presence for a young quarterback. I think that can take a hit and that can get challenged, but I don't think he's anywhere near the potential to be all of a sudden David Carr.
Yeah.
It's just he's a different quarterback than David Carr was.
Here's the chronology for Ben Johnson. This was in Dan Campbell's first year.
Yeah.
And Anthony Lynn was the play caller there, the former head coach of the San Diego Chargers. And they started out 0-8. This is in Campbell's first year in 2021. They were 0-8. So it's a little more, you know, like it's the records are very different here, but the thought process is the same, where Dan Campbell said, look, 0-8, this isn't good enough. And so they gave play calling duties to Ben Johnson and then named him the offensive coordinator in February of that year. They went 3-14 or something like that in that season.
Yeah.
That Ben Johnson got the play calling duties. But it was one of those 3-14, a little like Jonathan Gannon and
they became a darling, by the end of that season.
Even having won only 3 or 4 games. That's what led to them get that record, got them Aiden Hutchinson.
And I'm sorry, what week was it that Ben Johnson got play calling
duties? An 0-8 start. It was halfway through the season.
Yeah, halfway through the season.
Yeah.
They changed play callers.
Yep.
And it made a difference.
And then
it was the next season where they fired a defensive backs coach, I believe. I think it was the next season.
Okay.
And that made a difference in season.
Yep.
Now they're one of the best defenses in the NFL with Aaron Glenn as their coordinator. Aaron Glenn's not getting nearly as much buzz about being a future head coach as Bobby Slowick was last year.
Correct.
But Aaron Glenn has done something more impressive, which is over the course of several seasons has gone from being a laggard defense to now one of the better defenses in the NFL. And they're doing it right now without the benefit of their best pass rusher, too.
I think the question for Texan fans, and I don't know the answer to it, we're going to find out, does D'Amico Ryans have that in him? Does he have it in him to make a major change with this coaching staff in a situation that begs for major change?
This is the test, too, for the coaches who are super positive.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, it's good to always, you know, anticipate getting the best and expect the best and expect guys to get a result. But the cold, hard reality is that you're also in a business where there's a lot of turnover. And they do it with the players, right? No problem. Yeah, we cut players all the time.
All the time.
D'Amico's an awesome guy who wants to be positive all the time. But it's a reality of the business that you got to cut players all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you can't sit around waiting for the 53 guys you have on your roster to all of a sudden get good at some point. At some point, you got to let go of Kenyon Green before his shoulder makes the decision for you. Likewise with coaches, at some point, you got to make the decision. Are these guys actually getting the most out of what we have out there on the field?
Yeah. Here's my thing about firing. Let's say Chris Strausser is the collateral damage in all this.
Yeah.
It's his position group that is playing so abysmally right now and is putting C.J. Stroud in danger literally every time he drops back to pass. This is my concern here is that, okay, who's the replacement? Is there a replacement out there? Like, literally, is Chris Strausser not good at coaching these guys? Or is this not a group that's good at accepting the coaching or is a little too casual about everything? Because if Strausser is actually a good coach, then you're doing it because you're just trying to jolt those guys.
Yeah.
And I don't know that these guys have personalities that are joltable right now. You know, like, are these guys that are going to take it to heart that they just got their, if it were to happen, that they just got their position coach fired? Or, you know, are they shopping for the next set of skinny jeans?
Right, are they going to come in and, yeah, do they even want to, you know, usually if you've got the right kind of guys, what you really need at every position is a really good teacher.
Yeah.
Like, coaching is teaching, as multiple great coaches will tell you.
Yep.
But a lot of that is also having the right kinds of guys that really want to be taught and or be taught and to just actually make changes from week to week and improve. So that's a big question mark. And there's only so much you can do about that in season. I do think two things about the offensive line. One is that, look, there's times where they're exposed in pass protection, especially when the tight ends and running backs get involved, because the O-line is turning, you know, Laramie's turning to help out, to help out Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
They're using turn protection. And then that puts more stress on tight ends to block defensive ends, etc. So there's that. The other is that, okay, and I was guilty of this early in the season. I would think, okay, bringing an offensive lineman in via trade is kind of dicey because the offensive line is so technique and scheme dependent, and you got this continuity along the offensive line. And now I'm looking at myself saying that thing at any point in my life and asking, what continuity are you going to disrupt?
Your tweet.
Oh, this five-fingered glove that works in unison. I said on my stream last night, no, this is, Sean, I grew up, I come from a farming family. Multiple men in my family don't have all of their digits or their fingers. This offensive line looks like they shoved their hand into a hay elevator and had it mangled in the gears. No veteran offensive lineman who comes into this group right now is going to somehow destroy this fine-tuned machine that they have working.
Yeah.
This Swiss timepiece. Yeah. Don't worry about it. You bring in a guy with a freaking pulse. Or Jared Patterson if he ends up being the savior. Because the left guard position is, it's above and beyond just the damage that Kenyon Green is doing individually. It's, I think, some of the protections they have to call. I mean, you go against good defensive backs like the Jets have, and you say, okay, well, we're going to have to just start getting CJ out of the pocket, rolling him. And, like, defenses have answers for that.
Yeah.
And it turns into half-field reads. Guys are all covered up. CJ doesn't have anywhere to go with the football.
Yep.
Except here and there, every now and then, a 50-yarder to Tank Dell.
All caps on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. We have so much invested in the O-line, I have no idea how to fix the situation. For purposes of 2024, it is kind of a helpless situation. I can tell you, having done the research, it is a situation that you can, with some pain, extricate yourself from or make changes to much easier. Not much easier, but after the season. Like, after this season, at the very least, Laramie and Titus, you're not upside down on moving on from them. Like, their cap hits like 20, you know, Laramie is like, cap hits like 28, but if you move on from him, it's 25. So you kind of save $3 million bucks. I mean, you're still having to spend $25 million in dead money on a guy who wouldn't be here if you were to trade him or whatever you do. I don't know what the short-term solution is, and I don't know what the long-term solution is.
Their whole operation, man, there's just, my God, these guys just let themselves get pushed around so much.
Yeah.
They just, that's why it was such a breath of fresh air to see Kendrick Green, even though he's got limitations, you know, like, man, it's just glaring how small he is, but he plays his ass off to make up for it. And it's the first time really all season long where I've watched an offensive lineman and say, oh, that guy's playing his ass off. You know,
yep.
Wow, that guy's really, really playing his ass off. Instead of, you know, Kendrick Green got initially beat on a tackle end stunt, but he lunged out like a feral cat to at least get a piece of the looping tight end, and yeah. CJ was able to step up. As opposed to standing around after they get beat with a dopey-ass look on their face, yeah. with that bad, they've got that fat offensive line body posture where they stand like Chris from The Family Guy, yeah. where they're kind of like with their shoulders forward and their bellies hanging out.
Yep.
Like, oh, look at CJ, he's getting hit. I wonder why. Hey, I know that guy tackling CJ. I know that guy. That's my guy.
Hey.
I wonder if I should go and help CJ up. I don't know. Coach tells us we got to get in the huddle quickly.
Oh, my God.
I just can't win. I can't win. They're a combination of Eeyore and Chris from The Family Guy.
That's not a combination.
At best.
Yeah. At best, yeah.
They're a castrated version of Eeyore. Eeyore with no testicles. That's the body language of your standard Texans offensive lineman.
They're a bunch of castrated donkeys. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Fake donkeys. Like stuffed donkeys.
Look over there. The Green Bay guys are shoving CJ around on the sideline. Ooh. That's not cool at all.
Hi, CJ.
Did you enjoy your trip to the Packers sideline?
Okay, now the 5 hour energy fan line is just turning into this sea of names of damaged quarterbacks. It's CJ, yeah. CJ Stroud looking like Mac Jones out there. Oh, don't do that.
Oh, Mac Jones the rookie of the year?
He was. He was a rookie.
What a great year that was for Mac Jones.
2021, yeah. 2022, not so much. Sean and Seth,
we're going to get a report in the offseason that CJ's been calling, or we'll get a report in season that CJ's been calling Ryan Day looking for answers.
Oh,
so remember
like
that
Mac
was
Jones?
A deal Mac Jones had called, what, Bill O'Brien?
I think
or
Bill
was it,
O'Brien, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and Belichick got all pissy about it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to be CJ. Turns out CJ was talking to, during the bye week, CJ spent 3 days with Ryan Day.
And it's going to piss off D'Amico and Bobby.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.